To me, I be work, 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 work. You see me do me dirt, 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 dirt. Something about that work, 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 work.
Welcome to WitWorks Radio. It is Tuesday, November 12th. This is Abby Pober from the Center for Cooperative Education and Career Development, and today I am joined by three fabulous colleagues that I'm going to let introduce themselves.
Hi, everyone. It's Rhea Kalinowski, Co-op and Career Advisor.
Hi, this is Faith Beatty, Associate Director, Co-ops and Careers, and I'm here to introduce our new Co-op and Career Advisor for our Construction Management and Civil Engineering students, Charlie Klemmer.
Hey, everyone. This is Charlie Klemmer. Happy to be on the show.
Thanks for joining us today, Charlie. So exciting. So if you could just start by telling us a little bit about yourself, that would be perfect.
Yeah, of course. What a great place to begin. So I am originally from the New England area. Grew up from Parton, Massachusetts, Parton, Rhode Island, and then was able to head out to California to do my undergraduate experience.
Oh, really? Whereabouts?
I was out in Santa Clara, California.
Oh, okay.
So kind of near San Jose, south of San Francisco.
Why'd you move back?
Well, interesting question. I decided that I wanted to go into a career in education, and living out in that part of the country, just cost of living wise, is very challenging to kind of make that assessment, let's say. So I decided education, also moving back closer to family, who are all pretty much in the New England and Northeastern part of the country. So,
well, as the winter is approaching, are you regretting that decision?
Always, yes, which is one of the big factors of me moving out there in the first place, actually.
Nice.
But there are also many wonderful activities to do in the wintertime here in New England as well. So
that's true.
Excited to be able to do some of that and also get cozied up and do some of the nice cozy indoor activities as well.
Right.
So.
Nice.
So you moved back here from Santa Clara, and what was next in your...
So what happened next? I actually, the day after I graduated from Santa Clara, which is on the trimester system, so we graduated mid-June, I want to say, I was back in the classroom in grad school. So
oh, wow.
I was right back in the classroom at Providence College, getting a degree in education.
It's exciting. We all love education here.
Yes. Big fan of education in all shapes and forms that it takes.
So you were in a unique program down there. You want to describe that?
Yeah, so I was in a unique program that combined full-time teaching with a master's degree in secondary education. So I was actually teaching full-time at the middle school level while also living in community. So I was living with other teachers, learning about education and teaching all at the same time.
Oh, that's so cool. I didn't realize that. So were you, was it just seventh graders, eighth graders? How did that work? Was it like a certain subject?
I actually taught, I was the head teacher of the English Language Arts Department. So I taught kind of the full spectrum of grammar, reading, writing, vocabulary to sixth, seventh, and eighth grade students.
That's tough.
Yes, it was. and looking back on it, I didn't realize how much I was an integral part of the educational experience the students had there, and learning from other experiences that I know friends of mine have had in teaching, I understand now that that was not the norm.
Well, that's interesting. And then you took a left turn.
Yeah, a little bit of a left turn. I actually also had a pretty amazing experience, opportunity to gain experience doing the Peace Corps. So I was living in Mozambique, which is in southeastern Africa, kind of right above South Africa and right below Tanzania. And I was also teaching there. So different teaching experience, but still classroom teaching.
Nice.
Yeah. So if anyone is interested in learning about or talking through any Peace Corps ideas or opportunities, I'm happy to share my experience as well as my thoughts.
So can I just ask you, when did you specifically choose Mozambique, or how does it work in the Peace Corps?
Yeah, so I think it's changed slightly even since I applied and did my experience. So it is a bit more user-friendly. where I believe you can actually select and choose the different country you would like to apply to and volunteer in. When I applied, it was more kind of pick your three best case scenarios, one being geographical region, the other being timeline, so when you'd actually go on service, and then the final being the area that you would be volunteering in. So my categories were definitely wanted to be in teaching and education, was actually originally thinking about Latin America, and had a timeline in mind, time frame in mind, being shortly after the time that I wrapped up my teaching experience. So, kind of summer, fall transition period. Mm-hmm. Turned out that the timeline took more priority, which meant I transitioned and shifted towards Southeastern African countries, being Mozambique.
That's wild.
Because they're on a different school schedule.
Cool. What did you like most about or learn from that experience?
How much you can learn about yourself from getting outside of your comfort zone, as well as from others, by really immersing in a culture outside of your own.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
What kind of food is that?
Pretty wide ranging, depending on where you are in the country. So there is, Mozambique is kind of famous, I would say, for its coastline. Mm-hmm. So very, coastal seafood, prawns, lobster, different from the lobster you probably think about around here. The lobsters actually don't have claws.
Oh.
They're clawless lobsters.
Really?
Yeah. So a big tail, a lot of meat in the tail, but not, not the claws that we think of in the kind of New England area around here. So seafood, where I was staying and living was actually much more inland. Mm-hmm. So we actually ate a lot more kind of domesticated animals like chicken, or we had a lot of beef available. But depending regionally, a lot of the kind of tropical foods as well. Yeah.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. And they have, interestingly enough, they have what was called shima. But it's essentially like kind of cornmeal, almost like grits, but a little bit more, not as light as grits, but a bit more heavy. Yeah.
Did you take any recipes back with you, or food items that you continue to eat now from that experience?
Yes, I do. And it's not as easy to replicate completely, but I have been able to bring back a traditional coconut peanut sauce. That also can go over greens. So eating greens with sauce is a very typical cuisine.
Fascinating.
We like to eat in Co-ops and Careers.
I know, really.
I love talking about food, and happy to teach and learn. So
and great. Share.
And share, exactly, yeah.
Okay, and then what happened after Mozambique in the Peace Corps?
So after Mozambique, timeline-wise, I got back to the U.S. And was able to spend some time with family. I actually got back during one of the more difficult winters, I hear, we have had in recent experience. So that was quite the culture shock coming back from Africa.
Oh my gosh,
to
you were here for that horrible winter.
Shoveling snow and
it's like every Wednesday.
Snow, yes,
right?
Every Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah, I remember that.
Exactly. And then, I was doing a bit of the job search, but really wanted to take some time, integrate back into U.S. culture, and did a cross-country road trip.
Oh,
actually, for about 2.5 months, I was able to connect with my site mate while I was in Mozambique. Oddly enough, who also had quite a bit of time on his hands. And we were able to link up and do a cross-country road trip, which covered national parks and music festivals across the country.
Really?
That's so
lucky.
Blast.
So it was a fantastic opportunity to be able to take that time and actually do something that I'd always wanted to do, but never quite had that significant chunk of time to be able to do. And it was really amazing, kind of the thought process and mapping it out quite literally on a road map. as well as the times that we were staying in places and visiting those national parks and music festivals.
So did you go southern route, northern route?
We went northern route. So we went northern route out and then southern route coming back. So basically did a big loop around the U.S. So it was quite an amazing experience.
All right, so what's your fave national park?
My favorite? They're all so different. So I really like hiking up mountains and tall peaks. So I really liked the Grand Tetons as well as Glacier National Park.
Oh, cool.
Especially because when you get out into Wyoming and Montana, you really feel the depth and breadth of the U.S. around you, it kind of puts you in your place a little bit. So
that's neat.
Right, you are a microcosm.
Exactly. And you realize that you know, some of these structures and these stretches of land have been there for thousands of years, and when you're looking out over that expanse, it's pretty amazing.
That's a great experience.
Yeah.
You continue to be friends at the end of that 2.5 months.
Yes. We learned that we,
friendship.
Yeah, we learned that we traveled really well in Mozambique. So that, which was probably even more challenging travel situations and scenarios. So, we decided to link up for another tour. And, it was certainly challenging me on the road for that long. But we made it work, and it was great to break up the time, and visit with friends along the route, as well as doing, the parks that we were doing and the festivals. So
that's a blast. Mm-hmm.
Was there a specific type of music that you were going for? Or
not really specific, but I would say the music festival that really surprised me was in right outside of Austin, Texas, is Old Settlers Music Festival.
Oh.
So there are a lot of kind of folk as well as Americana, a little bit of country mixed in there, that really surprised me, especially just the way that the festival was put on and the types of people that we met there, as well as the music. It was really fantastic.
That's awesome. That's a great trip.
Yeah.
But then you had to come back and start working.
I had to at some point. Fun fact, I was actually offered a job on the road.
Oh, wow.
So I thought, well, what the heck? I had been applying to some of these places across the country, Denver and Texas and Arizona, and I thought, well, we're going to be in some of these spots. So I brought a shirt and tie, for all you co-ops folks out there. Never, always want to be prepared. And funny enough, linked up with the director of a school in Arizona while we were on the road, and they had two open positions. And so we actually, in a 24-hour turnaround, put together lesson plans, applied, taught those lessons plans, and were offered jobs.
Wow.
My friend, who I was on the road with, ended up taking that position that was offered to him. I did not, however, but yeah, so
that's a crazy story.
So, but yes, back to the need to find gainful employment, came back, continued the job search, and ended up finding a really fantastic position at a school around here, actually, Cristo Rey in Dorchester. And what really drew me to that position was the unique work study / kind of co-op model that they integrate into their high school curriculum. So one day a week, they actually have high school students from freshman year through senior year going out into the greater Boston area and working in corporate sponsored internships.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was an excellent experience, I would think, for what you've entered into here at Wentworth.
Yeah, and it actually really inspired my interest and my pursuit of the career development, workforce development / advising and coaching career that I really am passionate about and look forward to doing more of here at Wentworth.
That's great.
So what do you like so far about, I know you've been here less than a week, so what do you either like so far about either Wentworth or the role, or what are you looking most forward to?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I think the one thing I've heard come up over and over, and it even happened just this morning again by one of the faculty that I was able to meet, is just how amazing the students are here at Wentworth. And that's not something I believe that's taken lightly. And I know all students come with their own challenges and their own, you know, things that they're learning. But I have heard over and over again the amazing persistence, the amazing personalities, the amazing commitment that the students here at Wentworth have, and really look forward to getting to know a lot more of them and being a part of the community. And then also the support community around those students, being the faculty and staff who really are knowledgeable about and understand how to work with these students and work within the population that we're working with. So really excited about that.
Cool.
Is there anything about, I know you've only been here a few days, is there anything that you've been surprised by, whether it's about the job or about Wentworth or just, I don't know, anything that was unexpected?
I'm not sure. Again, it's early, I'm sure there are things that are going to come up. However, I think, and I try and go into new experiences with limited expectations.
Yeah.
However, being a technical school in many of the industries that Wentworth places students in, I've been really impressed by how open faculty, staff, and students are to, you know, how to prepare yourself for those industries and how to prepare yourself for working in a kind of diverse workplace and 21st century workplace as it is today. So that's been really impressive to me. Yeah.
That's great. And you are now part of that.
And I am now part of that. So looking forward to it.
That's awesome. So you were familiar with New England before you went out to California. Now you're back. Is there anything particular that you are excited about doing now that you're here? Any hobbies that you will be pursuing or...
Yeah, I think certainly one of the things that excites me most about being back in the New England area is being close to family. So I do have a very positive relationship with my family. I have three brothers. I have a number of cousins in the Northeast. And so being close to all of them, but also, yeah, I mean, as far as activities go, skiing is always a fun one. Hiking around New England is great. New England sports, you know, sports around Boston, if you're a sports
just
fan,
a few.
Just, yeah. you know,
we do
but,
pretty good at that.
Yeah, good. So yeah, sports fans in Boston and the greater New England area. I mean, it's been a pretty darn good run,
yes,
for the last, I would say probably 20 years that I've really been a sports fan. So,
yeah.
It's really looking forward to engaging in all those things for sure.
That's great.
So we walked through a little bit of your resume and talked about some past experiences. Is there anything that's not on your resume that you would like to share with everybody?
Yeah, actually. So I was thinking, as we've been talking about all these national parks and hiking and the outdoors, which is something that I really appreciate and am passionate about, I was actually able to, when I was studying out in California, hike Mount Whitney, which is the tallest peak in the contiguous United States. So outside of Alaska and Hawaii, here in the U.S., Mount Whitney is the tallest peak at, I think, something near 14,660-ish feet.
Wow.
And it actually looks over, directly below it is Death Valley, which is the lowest peak. So that was quite an impressive and powerful experience. And we actually did it in one day.
You did? I was going to ask how long it took.
I don't recommend considering.
What time did you leave? Like 1 a.m., 2 a.m.?
We left really early in the morning. I believe it was closer to 3 or 4. So definitely, you know, before the sun rose. We had headlamps. We did have the proper gear. So, you know, PSA for all those out there, if you're thinking about doing any hiking, make sure you pack appropriately and bring the proper gear. But more so than the time it took and when we departed, it is actually the acclimation, mm-hmm, to the elevation. And so that is one thing that really needs to be taken into account when doing a hike of that nature. And so to do it in one day was pretty serious.
And a lot for your body to
I would be lying if I said that we were not affected or impacted by the elevation and the oxygen levels. Yeah. So
if you left that early in the morning, what time did you descend? What time did you get back down?
We finished right around 5 o'clock, between 4 and 5. So it was a good 12 hours of hiking.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's very impressive.
Yeah, I don't know if I would be doing that again anytime soon, but at the time it was certainly, I went with a number of friends of mine that I had done a number of those experiences with and was really happy to be able to do it with that group.
Yeah.
And it was great. Yeah.
That's great. That's a great experience.
So yeah, it's not. Maybe I should start putting that on the resume. I don't know.
Yeah, that's unique.
Well, okay.
Check off the
students to put something very unique in their interest.
Check
section.
Off the 14,000 yeah. foot. I had an opportunity to do Kilimanjaro, as well, but there were reasons why I didn't want to do that. It's an interesting trip, Kilimanjaro.
Yeah.
But I guess to elaborate a little bit on that, you have to go with guides. It is a number of days that you're doing it. So it's extended out over a number of days, all because of precautionary reasons. But then it is also quite an expensive trip. Living
but
on...
the acclimation is really staged in that.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And so I think that's probably closer to 18,000 feet right around there. And so, yeah, the need to acclimate to all the different elevation levels is really important.
But that just makes you think the 14,000 that you did before must have been really tough on your body.
Yes, yeah. I don't like to think about that
yeah,
often,
right.
but
now that it's over.
Yeah, right, exactly.
What else? Do you have any other things you'd like to share with us? Any
advice for students?
Students,
or?
Yep.
Yeah, advice for students. I think
always have a shirt and a tie.
Yeah, always have a shirt. Right, there you go. Always have a shirt and a tie, a resume handy, business cards if possible. I think in my experience in education, and maybe this kind of falls in line with my own personal philosophy on education, certainly the academics, the grades, the certifications, the learning that you will do on mainly the technical side of things, as I would, equate that more so to professional employment and gaining employment, don't neglect the personal development and the personal learning and growth that you can do on that side of things. So really, being a lifelong learner of yourself and learning how to... manage, whether it's health and wellness, whether it is personal challenges that you might come across or face. Really, that is also a significant and important part of education on the whole. So kind of a mind, body, and soul perspective.
That's great. That's excellent advice to our students.
Definitely.
Take care of yourselves. I guess that's the,
yeah.
That's the bottom line.
Great.
Well, on that note,
yeah.
I think that's a great way to end this. I mean, that's really good advice. We really look forward to having you as part of the team. I think our construction management and civil engineering students are very lucky to have you. And we just think you bring a really unique background that's just expanding the skill set of co-ops and careers.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. Appreciate the opportunity to be on the show here, and looking forward to meeting a lot more people as we get going further into the year.
Excellent.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us, Charlie. Before we head out, we're going to leave you with some important upcoming events. So if you are in a construction management major today, I want to remind you that the Construction Management Expo is happening from 2 to 5. Charlie, do you know which room that's happening in by any chance?
Watson.
Okay. So if you're looking for construction management co-op, head over to Watson between 2 and 5. from our office, we actually have two international student co-op information sessions coming up. One this evening from 5 to 6:30 in Wentworth 210, and then again on Thursday from 5 to 6:30. So if you're an international student who's going to be heading out on co-op in the spring or the summer, this is a session that you're not going to want to miss. We're going to talk about OPT, CPT, the nuances of working with an employer here in the United States as an international student. And then if you are out on fall co-op and listening to this, your evaluations are due on Monday, December 2nd. And I believe Rhea has an announcement as well.
Yes, just a reminder, the remaining Co-op and Suit Plus sessions for students in Co-op and Suit and others as well. Wednesday, November 13th, that's tomorrow night from 5 to 7 in Watson, will be a student alumni networking event. And on Tuesday, November 19th, there will be several sessions on career well-being led by Project 40. And on Thursday, November 21st, from 5 to 6, there will be a session about managing co-op search anxiety. And you can find more information about all those events and where they're located on our website.
Perfect. I think that's it. You can always follow us on Twitter or Instagram at WIC Co-ops Careers. Drop-in hours are every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday from 1:30 to 4 while classes are in session. So you can head on over to the office right now, actually, if you're looking to get a drop-in. And I think that's it. All right, everyone, have a great week. We will see you on Tuesday.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.